You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time, is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito. I thank you for taking 15 minutes of your busy day to join me. Greetings. God bless. Off to a great start here today. We're tuning in to God's frequency to hear a word from Him. You're going to hear, well, this is the last part of a sermon I preached last Sunday at Island Community Church. Island is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet Wednesday nights for midweek Bible study, 6 to 7. We'd love to see you. I invite you to any one of our services. We're going through the book of Romans on Wednesday night. We'll be in chapter 4 here next week. And we are in Matthew, going through the Gospel of Matthew verse by verse for the most part on Sunday mornings. And you're going to hear the sermon from just last Sunday here, the last part. We're in chapter 10. We're looking at some things that, we're looking at the Lord calling his apostles. We learned from the Gospel of Luke that he was up all night long praying about it the night before. What a fantastic example he gives us, from being baptized to washing the disciples' feet. He's up all night long praying about it before he makes an important decision, and he's God, as if he doesn't know the future and who his apostles are going to be, yet still he was up all night praying about it. What does that say to you and I? We've looked at the Lord commanding the apostles, and we've brought out how people misunderstand those promises. We're given to them. They're not given to you and I for today. You can't go up to someone and say, drop dead, like Peter did, figuratively speaking. Listen, here come the feet of those that buried your husband, and now they're going to haul you out. Those were promises for Peter. When Jesus breathed on him and says, whosoever sins you hold on to, they're held on to. You don't have that authority today. These were special things. And we're looking at the Lord sending out his disciples as missionaries. And he told them, if you go to a town and if they don't receive you, then shake the dust off your feet and come back. Don't stay there, but get out. That's what we have here in chapter 3. Chapter 10. I'm out of time. Here's the last part of this message. We're going to focus today on why does God allow evil?
If God is sovereign, and if he's in charge of everything, why is there so much evil in the world? A question we've all contemplated, right? It's a difficult question. Let me say, evil does not come from God. When God was done creating this world, he saw it and declared it that it was good. It wasn't evil. Evil is our fault, not his. Many scriptures affirm that God is not the author of evil, right? God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. James 1:13. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. And if that is true, he cannot in any way be the author of evil. Now, why does God allow evil? I found this. This is an outstanding resource from one of your favorite places, gotquestions.org. Why does God allow evil? Answer, the Bible describes God as holy, righteous, just, sovereign. These attributes tell us the following about God. Number one, he's capable of preventing evil. Number two, he desires to rid the universe of evil. So if both of these are true, why does God allow evil? Perhaps a practical way to look at this question would be to consider some alternative ways people might have God run the world. Fascinating, huh? Let's look at that. Practical ways to look at this question would be to consider alternative ways people might have God run the world. Number one, God could change everyone's personality so that they could not sin. This would also mean we would have no free will. We would not be able to choose right and wrong because we would be programmed to only do right. Had God chosen to do this, there would be no meaningful relationships between him and his creation. He's saying we all would be robots. You wouldn't love God genuinely. You would love God because you were pre-programmed to love God, and you're going to love him and like it. That's not the kind of relationship he wants with you. He wants you to choose God. He's given man the opportunity to choose. Choose this day, he says. Choose this day whom you will serve. Let me go on here. Instead, God made Adam and Eve innocent, but with the ability to choose good or evil. Because of this, they could respond to his love and trust him or choose to disobey. They chose to disobey because we live in a real world where we can choose our actions but not their consequences. Their sin affected those that came after them, us. Similarly, our decisions to sin have an impact on us and those around us and those who will come after us. Number two, God could compensate for people's evil actions through supernatural intervention. 100% of the time, even. I sound like Snagglepuss. 100% of the time, even. That is, God would stop a drunk driver from causing an automobile accident. God would stop a lazy construction worker from doing a substandard job on a house. God could stop a father who was addicted to drugs or alcohol from doing any harm to his wife or children or extended family. God could stop a gunman from robbing convenience stores. God would stop high school bullies from tormenting brainy kids. God could stop thieves, or not could, would, stop thieves from shoplifting. And yes, God would stop terrorists from flying airplanes into buildings. While this solution sounds attractive, it would lose its attractiveness as soon as God's intervention infringed on something that you wanted to do. We want God to prevent horribly evil actions, but are we willing to let the lesser evil actions slide? Not willing that those lesser evil actions are what leads to greater evil actions? Should God only stop actual sexual affairs, or should he block our access to pornography? And any inappropriate but not yet sexual relationships? Should God stop true thieves, or should he also stop us from cheating on our taxes? Should God only stop murder, or should he stop lesser evil actions done to people that lead them to commit murder? Should God only stop the acts of terrorism, or should he stop the indoctrination that transformed a person into a terrorist? Number three, another choice would be for God to judge and remove those who choose to commit evil acts. The problem with this possibility is that there wouldn't be anyone left. For God would have to remove us all. For All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All sin. We all commit evil acts. Romans 3:23, Ecclesiastes 7:20, 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we make him, we're a liar, and we're deceiving ourselves. While some people are more evil than others, where would God draw the line? Ultimately, all evil causes harm to others. Instead of these options, God has chosen to create a real world in which real choices have real consequences. In this real world of ours, our actions affect others. Because of Adam's choice to sin, the world we now live in is under a curse, and we're all born with a sin nature. There will one day come a time when God will judge the sin in this world and make all things new. But he is purposely delaying in order to allow time for people to repent so that he will not need to condemn them. Right? God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But all would come to repentance. Until then, he is concerned about evil. When he created the Old Testament laws, the goal was to discourage and punish evil. He judges nations and rulers that disregard justice and pursue evil. Likewise, in the New Testament, God states that it's the government's responsibility to provide justice in order to protect the innocent from evil. Romans 13:3. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Paul said, if you do evil, be afraid. What does God do about evil? He appoints people running government. It's our job to do something about evil until he makes everything right again. But why all the evil in the world? He knew there was evil in the world. He established governments in order to take care of that. He promised severe consequences for those that commit evil acts, especially against the innocent. Mark 9:36. In summary, we live in a real world where our good and evil actions have direct consequences and indirect consequences upon us and those around us. God's desire is for all of our sakes we would obey him so that it might be well with us. Instead, what happens is that we choose our own way and then we blame God for not doing something about it. Isn't that the truth? Such is the heart of sinful man. But Jesus came to change men's hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he does this for those that will turn from evil and call on him to save them from their sin and their consequences. God does prevent and restrain some acts of evil. The world would be much worse were God not restraining evil. At the same time, God has given us the ability to choose good and evil. And when we choose evil, he allows us and those around us to suffer the consequences of evil. Let me say that again. He's given us the ability to choose good and evil. And when we choose evil, he allows us and those around us to suffer the consequences of evil. Rather than blaming God and questioning God on why he does not prevent all evil, we should be about the business of proclaiming the cure for evil and its consequences, Jesus Christ. Amen to that. You can't change it. All you can do is offer the cure to as many people as possible. And he indeed is the cure for evil in the world. When you turn from sin and turn to God, he will do a heart transplant in you so that you will no longer pursue evil, but righteousness. He wants to do that. He's promised he will give you a new heart if you seek him. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily. and is tuned in to his